Obviously, it's important for a team to like, especially an international team, because you don't have as much time to like train with each other and get to know each other. You sort of the excitement. So you need this cohesion and chemistry between the players to, win games. Like it sort of bonds everything together. It bonds how well tactics are used, and you're losing 2-0. You don't want to start like thinking, you want your players to motivate each other. It's just sort of, it was just the same on it. Like, because, like we said, it was from 2002 to 2010. It was almost like every single time there's an international competition, it was just like, fair
Yeah,
enough.
we were doomed almost,
Fair
weren't we?
enough. It was two quarterfinals, like they say. But even in like, because we just looked at the group stages then, it still wasn't like, for how well this team was on paper, we still wasn't performing as well we should have been, even if we did get knocked out in pe penalties twice, which is fair enough. And then you can argue, like you said, you didn't even get qualified in 2008. So there's obviously some sort of issues going on, and this rivalry. They've said in interviews they didn't like each other. You have Lampard and Gerrard, very two similar players, Liverpool and Chelsea. And then bring them to the same squad. They just couldn't play with each other.
But why was that? That's the question. They should be able to. They're professionals. They don't have to like each other. They can still respect each other. But the question is, why couldn't they play together?
There's a lot of so they sort of say England had a very good squad. However, it was heavily can't think of the word. There was too many good attacking midfielders. So Lampard, he was an attacking midfielder, more than defensive, and Gerrard was more of attacking than defensive. Gerrard, sorry, was a bit more defensive, and then you've got Beckham on top of that, and then loads of other good centre mids as well. So, and I saw when I was watching interviews, Gerrard was very passionate to say about the manager. He and the tactics used, they were saying they used a 4-4-2, and they were saying we've got all this. This is Ferdinand. He did a really good job of explaining. Like Ferdinand was saying, so we're using a 4-4-2. Why are we not using a 4-5-1 with a diamond, using Beckham, Lampard, Scholes, and Gerrard? Instead, Lampard said he's like coming in to defend, because obviously they're in the 4-4-2, you need your two centre mids to defend. And he said he wasn't used to that. It comes down to obviously another massive factor, other than they didn't really even get along in the first place. The tactics that were used on top of that was not correct. So you've got instantly you've got not very good chemistry and the complete wrong tactics used. So
So you
that's a
think,
massive thing.
so would you, because I mean, I think if I was England manager and I had Gerrard, Lampard and Scholes, I would have tried my utmost to play all three of them together in like a 4-3-3 or like a diamond, as you've said.
Yeah.
I know they're all, prominently attacking, but if surely if you, as manager, work on making sure that one or two of them are staying back because they're all three of them are so good. You don't need all three necessarily,
Yeah.
and it's almost like using almost rotating, and so every 5, 10 minutes, whatever, one of them's a defensive pivot like player, and the other goes forward. I don't understand. But instead, Ericsson opted to play in this 4-4-2 and shoving one of them out on the left, and then none of them are left wingers.
Just looking at the teams that was like put out, we didn't need, wingers sort of. It wasn't wingers, the left mid and right mid. So they sort of defend, help the full backs, and then your two centre mids are pushed back as well, and you've got two strikers. But we didn't need, in my opinion, we didn't need this defensive cover because the defence was good enough anyway. If we would have just pushed out and attacked the team with these attacking players that we've got, because we've mentioned the midfielders, but we haven't mentioned, Rooney, Shearer, Owen, Ballon d'Or. This is world class strikers on top of class midfielders. And backing them, they've got world-class defenders.
Yeah.
And that's why they obviously got called this golden era, because world-class players.
I think as you've mentioned, that obviously England players didn't adapt. So obviously at club level, they played with different players. But the question begs, why didn't they adapt to playing with different players internationally? You know, Spain did it, Germany did it, Italy did it.
Yeah.
Why couldn't we? And I feel a lot of people who, like, from an outside perspective, almost say that the English couldn't adapt. So obviously they had success in Europe, success winning the Premier Leagues, winning FA Cups, whatever. Like, we were dominant for a good, like, I think AC Milan were for Champions Leagues, but wasn't it Man U and Chelsea in the 08 final? Liverpool won it in 05. And it's like, do you think maybe, I'm not the case, but maybe some of the players didn't care for their country enough and actually
I don't think
exerted all their effort into the club?
They always say they had massive pride to play for the club. I think they would have just preferred to win with Man United, win the Premier League and win.
Yeah.
I don't think you can even use the word preferred. It was just, they just didn't want to lose that Premier League title or the Champions League. You know,
yeah,
want to lose it. It was too much thing. Another important thing is the German team all grew up together and played with each other or something like that.
From a youth level, yeah.
And so did the Spanish team. But the Spanish team, like you say, you have Xavi and Iniesta and Fabregas and Torres. It's the same sort of scenario for England. They have this amazing lineup, but they got it right. Right, and they obviously had this chemistry.
Yeah. Well, moving on from the players, because obviously it's evident that we had world-class players who perhaps were individually skilled but couldn't play together for multiple reasons. What do you think in terms of, because obviously the manager is an important aspect as well. So I think through that time, we had Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Yeah.
Then we had Steve McClaren, and then we had Fabio Capello.
I only remember.
Let's talk about those three. What do you think of Eriksson as a manager under England?
Well, I don't think any of them got it right. Seeing in interviews and all this, I don't think we ever got the right manager.
No.
To do the job. Why we couldn't get the correct manager. Do you think someone English would have changed that? Or
But I mean, McLaren was English, but I think...
Yeah, I know, but...
Right, McLaren, the job was too early for him. He's never recovered since. He's had spells at Newcastle and QPR, but it's a shame, isn't it? Because I think for many years... But he took the England job too early. He needed that experience before at a club level before taking the England job. Capello, I think for me, couldn't speak English really very well. No, but he couldn't, could he? Like, just listen to his interviews, and then when you hear Gerrard saying, "I have no idea what he just asked of me," and I think almost his, because Capello had been in Italy a lot, and obviously Italian football is very different to English football.
Yeah.
And so he failed to adapt to the culture of the football. Eriksson was the one there that was the longest, wasn't he? I think he was there for, was it 4 or 5 years, maybe longer?
I'm not sure.
I think, but he was there the longest out of those three. And I think he did all right. But when I watched him in a Sky Sports panel show last year, and Carragher was questioning him and trying to drive answers out of him, I was sort of in terms of tactics, and I think he still says he would have played Scholes on the left and he was able to, but we all saw he wasn't.
Yeah.
And I think it was almost a bit like Wenger, an inflexibility to change his tactics and go in with a different approach, because he sort of thought almost we've got the best players, therefore we can outplay everyone. But that isn't always the case, you know. We lost to a brilliant Brazil team in 2002.
And that's sad.
You know, you can't really have a go at the England. Like, I don't remember the game.
Not winning the World Cup as well.
Sorry?
ended up winning the World Cup. Was it over France as well?
Yeah, Brazil won it that year. So it's like, but then obviously, you know, that's one game. I think it's more that we didn't qualify for 08 and we lost to Portugal twice. And then 2010, we just got demolished by Germany. But
on that game though, innit? Because there's a very, it's a very controversial that game.
Oh, what, when Lampard's ball crossed the line?
Yeah. That was a really good game, and then I can't believe that never counted.
No, well that would have made it 2-2, but I still think we would have lost, to be honest. But I think to conclude, I think manager wise, maybe we didn't have the right person for the right team. We needed someone who was gonna be flexible in their approach, but also make it so that the players could play together and were comfortable together. I think Southgate's doing that now, and you see that how different the culture is and the atmosphere is with the England training camp now compared to then. Do you think if we'd had, obviously Southgate was like retiring then, but if we'd had Southgate as a manager then, do you think it would have been different?
Probably. I feel like not necessarily Southgate, because he does set up the England team very well. But obviously what he's doing now at England is definitely, he knows we are in need of a CDM, and we know we are in need of centre-backs.
Yeah.
And when for international friendlies and generally group stage games, really, because we've been dominating them for the last decades, you could say.
Yeah.
Absolutely dominating group stages. Mm.
Yeah.
He sort of looks for these players, whereas I don't think we didn't really need to look for these players, did we? So they're coming in from a young age and then building this bond with, like, because you see, like, players like Rice and Mount,
yeah,
who are obviously promising players for England, and they're like obviously play for West Ham and Chelsea. Like, how rivalry is that?
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah,
I mean, it's good to see that the team players are excited to go to England and catch up with their mates. Whereas Gerrard said Coutinho couldn't wait to go back to his Brazilian team and like catch up with all them. And Gerrard was sort of saying, no, I don't really want it.
Yeah. That just shows the difference, doesn't it? As much as we've praised this golden generation, once Seaman retired, do you think maybe we lacked a world-class goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Because I really believe that.
Yeah. You know, David James is brilliant for Portsmouth, but that was quite past the golden era stage by then.
No, James was good. You're good as well, James. I meant David James.
Yeah.
Sorry, mate. he was good, but he wasn't like Buffon, Casillas, Neuer sort of level, was he?
Well, he wasn't Seaman, was he? You know, it was hard to replace because he was such a great goalkeeper.
Yeah. And we had Paul Robinson, obviously, and then Robert Green, who made awful judgments at times. They weren't bad. I'm not saying they're bad goalkeepers, but in terms of at an international level, they just weren't good enough. And I think that definitely plays a part. If you've got, even though you've got a great defence, if you've not got a good goalkeeper, you're not going to win the big tournaments.
Yeah. Well, one thing we missed about the sort of rivalry is I saw this interview. Sorry about the interruption, your goalkeepers.
No, I'd finished.
Was Frank Lampard and Rio Ferdinand were talking about how they was really, really good mates, like shared the same room. Yeah. And we were really close, like friends. And they stopped talking to each other because obviously Lampard went to Chelsea and then Rio Ferdinand went to Leeds and then United. And they just completely fell out. Yeah. Not fell out, stopped talking because they didn't want to talk about what's going on with their clubs, because that's how much rivalry it was.
And they probably told not to talk to each other by their managers as well.
Yeah. Ferdinand said, I wish you wouldn't go to the England game at all. You just focus on the games to be played after the international games. So
Yeah.
Stuff. I feel like, from what we just talked about, obviously, this is in the era of Brazil and France and Portugal and even
Spain, Spain as well.
Yeah. Spain obviously dominated. That's towards the end of the era.
Yeah.
they were still world class teams. And we obviously lost penalties twice and got knocked out from Brazil, but there was no excuse in 2008. But all we had was just on paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like we had very good players, but not as a team. Yeah.
Need, well, this chemistry and manager, really. And I think we've learned from that. It took us quite a while to build our youth up, because after the golden era, I think our team was awful. And that's obviously when me and you come into the age where we gain more knowledge on football and a lot more then. Because I don't really remember the golden era, because I'd have been like six.
Do you think as well, like, because obviously, so I can't remember exactly, but 2002 we lost in the quarters. I think 2004 and 2006 we did as well. And then 2010 we lost in the round of, is it round of 16?
I think so.
So basically, every time we lost, it wasn't too soon after the group stage. It was in the knockout rounds. Do you think maybe there's a mentality thing, almost like a pressure where, okay, this is a knockout bit, it's getting serious now, and then we lost each one?
Well, you know this from growing up. Like, I grew up on England being, it's typical England to do this and lose against this game and draw this and...
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like typical Rooney being rubbish for England and amazing for United. And there was a lot of expectations dropped massively.
Yeah.
And there was obviously a lot of hype and a lot of pressure.
Mm.
And that obviously got on top of them versus everything else that's against them as well. Talk about the manager and the rivalry and all this sort of stuff.
Mm.
So... I think that's why it's such an excitement time now, because we got to the semi-finals. You could argue that it was who did we have in the... We beat... We went on penalties against Colombia. Colombia are a good side.
Yeah, they are a good side. Yeah, they were.
We beat Sweden quite easily, which is thank God.
Yeah.
And on that game against Croatia are obviously a really good side as well.
We should have won, though, shouldn't we? Like, did you watch
we're not going into that, Will.
No, we're not. But I still haven't got over that, partly.
But that's like the first time in our lives that England are sort of...
Done really well at a tournament.
Whole country was buzzing, weren't they?
I remember.
Years ago, it would have been this weekend that it would all been going on.
Well... You've got players now, though, as well. Like, as you've been pointing out, Southgate's not afraid to bring in young players and get rid of the deadwood. Like Rooney, Rooney's England career was prolonged for so long.
Yeah, I feel like Kane has done what Rooney couldn't do for England. So, like, don't get me wrong, Rooney had amazing, did really well for England. Like, he's really underrated, I would say, because he still scored. And
I think he could have done more, though. Do you not think?
Yeah, but I don't think him personally. It's sort of like even Messi can't carry the whole of Argentina. You know what I mean?
No. Well, I mean, he dragged them to a World Cup final, didn't he? But I mean, Rooney's not obviously Messi's level, but he didn't score. But I don't know. Like, I've got mixed opinions on this whole Rooney's the record goal scorer, but it's like, but lots of these goals were against teams like, no offense, San Marino and Macedonia, who I could score against.
Well, all right, Will.
But you know, like, it's teams that you'd expect him to score against. Like, can you think of a moment where he scored in a really important moment or against a really big team? That's the point. We didn't deliver on the big occasions when it mattered.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's just really, like, obviously it was the whole team and even the coach or whatever, but...
Was this last competition the one where we got knocked out by Iceland? That was a massive disappointment. We're sort of comparing what carried on after, because it is important to talk about.
Was this 2016?
Yeah.
Did Rooney play then?
Yeah, because I think we went 1-0 up, and I think he scored the penalty.
Yeah, that does ring a bell.
And then he scored like a throw in and just...
We shouldn't talk about this. It's bringing back bad memories.
And that's what I mean. So that's why it's really exciting now to go back to the point, because I feel like Something like Walker was our oldest player in that World Cup.
Yeah.
Starting 11. Something like that. I think Henderson is quite old.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
So there's so much potential. Like our attacking, Sancho now, who's come into the picture, and Kane's still young. He's not even in his prime.
Yeah, I think he's 26.
Yeah, so he's just getting into his prime. Obviously, his injuries are hurting a little bit. Rashford, Sterling. Like, who do you even start at the top? Like it's, and that's why we don't need to make the same mistake, because how over. I can't even think of the word. Like, we had so many good cams, and we don't want to make the same mistake of not utilising these players, because we sort of say use a front three, but I would want us to include Sancho, Sterling, Rashford, Kane all at top.
Mm.
You know, so
I think the main point is, obviously, so when we're getting to a point now where we've got the best young players in the world emerging, and some of them are even like tearing it up in top leagues. And I think as well, a big thing as well, like players like Sancho have gone to the Bundesliga. Like that wouldn't have happened 15 years ago. And I think you'll see, not saying they'll be on the same level as Sancho, but more follow in his direction, in that he's not going to start at a Man City or a Chelsea. But I think as well, the big thing is we actually have more players for different positions than the golden generation. And I think we've got different systems we can play. So you talked about playing a front three. We've played a back three. We've played a back four. We've played
a back five as well.
And in midfield, we've varied it. And I think that is that is sort of what we were lacking, in that flexibility and that I can't even speak. The adaption that we needed, and we almost didn't have that. But I think we do now with, you know, players like Chamberlain, who can play. Seen him play wing back, and we've seen him play centre mid, and they're talking about Trent Arnold playing full back and in the midfield, and that I think is really important.
I'm trying to try and see the
Exactly.
It's a bit off topic, but
it's good that we can play different systems and plays in different positions, because particularly in tournaments, that's what you need. But the future looks bright for England. I don't want to be over optimistic, because you know, but. Don't want to jinx it, but it looks good.